This is Radio Superior 1941, a reproduction of actual news events with authentic popular music from that era. This is a true story of our past, so step back with us to another time and hear this recreation of radio as it may have sounded in 1941. We bring you now to the KUWS radio studios at the Superior State Teachers College.
This is radio station KUWS, broadcasting from studios in Superior, Wisconsin. It's 5 o'clock standard wartime, Thursday, December the 18th, 1941. The Martin and McKenna Show is on the air. I'm Jack McKenna, and my partner, newsman Lou Martin, is standing by with the latest information regarding the war in the Pacific, in Europe, and here at home. We'll bring you weather and some music for your enjoyment as well. But first, we have the Northwestern Mutual Life Insurance Company 5 o'clock news. The good people at Northwestern Life urge you to buy insurance now, before the war protection is discontinued. Now, here's Lou Martin, and good day to you, sir.
And a good day to you, Jack, and to you listeners. We have a new chief in the Pacific. The United States has entrusted Admiral Chester Nimitz with the supreme command of the Pacific Fleet today. Admiral Nimitz is known as a forceful Texan and is rated second only to the Naval Operations Commander Admiral Stark in ability. This announcement comes 11 days after the sneak attack on Pearl Harbor heavily damaged the Pacific Fleet, and the critics say caught us unnecessarily off guard. Pacific Commander Admiral Husband Kimball has been relieved of his duties in Hawaii and will return to Washington pending a full investigation. Also relieved of duty are Army Commander General Walter Short, Air Force Pacific Chief Major General Frederick Martin. General L.C. Ticker is already en route to replace General Martin. Secretary of War Stimson says the duty of Admiral Nimitz and the new commanders will be to protect current bases in the Pacific from invasion and to pursue enemy forces. Filipino jungle fighters are being credited with throwing back Japanese forces attacking the United States bases in the 12-day battle for the island of Luzon. Japanese offensive by land, air, and sea is continuing from Burma and the Malay Peninsula to the jugged coast of the Dutch New Guinea and have mounted the greatest threat yet against the British stronghold of Singapore. Meanwhile, Tokyo is reporting that its strike against Pearl Harbor and the Hawaiian Islands 11 days ago destroyed 5 battleships, 2 heavy cruisers, 1 oil tanker, but recanted its claim to sinking an aircraft carrier, admitting that it had escaped to sea before the December 7th attack. The Nipponese capital also reported the destruction of 450 American planes on the ground and 14 in air duels. Japanese radio also reported the loss of 29 of their own fighter planes and 5 miniature submarines. U.S. officials have not released a full list of casualties from that attack, but call Japan's claims exaggerated. Meanwhile, a small band of American Marines continues to hold out on Wake Island. 2 more bombing attacks were reported 3 days ago on Wake Island, with the Marines shooting down 2 of the bombers. The attacks are said to be in great force. Wake's a tiny, horse-shaped island in the middle of the Pacific. The latest word from Wake is, and we quote, "The Marines on Wake continue to resist." Well, the tide of war has changed for Nazi Germany on the Russian front. Associated Press reporter Henry Cassidy is with the Red Army on the Moscow front and reports massive retreats all along the front by German troops, as white-helmeted Soviet shock troops pursue their enemy, while recapturing dozens of villages and towns along the way. Nazi forces had gotten close enough to Moscow to see the city's steeples 2 weeks ago, but harsh winter weather and a massive Soviet counterattack has the Hun on the run. Reporter Cassidy writes that dead German soldiers litter the path of the Soviet troops and tanks, many bodies frozen in grotesque positions. Soviet troops complained that they can't keep up with the Germans because they're running so fast. In Washington, The Senate is being asked to approve a bill drafting all men from ages 19 to 44 for military service. The House yesterday objected to the younger age and supported instead drafting men no younger than 21 years of age. Democratic Senator Sheridan Downey of California says there is no need for drafting teenagers. The 21 to the 44 age group would cause more than a million men to need training immediately, a task which the United States is not equipped for as yet. The vote is expected tomorrow. This is a difficult subject, and with us to talk about it is Douglas County Draft Board Number 2 Director, Mr. R.A. Raffaele. Thank you for joining us this evening, sir.
This wouldn't be a problem if every able-bodied man were to enlist in the armed services.
I understand that's happening already.
Well, I gotta say, Martin, I've never been so damn proud of our American men as I have been in the past 11 days. A call to service has been made, and our men, and women for that matter, are answering.
You say that women are enlisting?
Well, they're trying to do whatever they can. We get calls every day asking how they can help. And you know, Uncle Sam will find a place for them. And as this conflict goes on, we need everyone to chip in. There's no room for slackers here, Martin. No room at all, dang it. You'll be found out if you try anything like that.
Not me personally. You're speaking generally, I assume.
Why? You hiding something there, Martin?
I'm all registered, Mr. Raffaele. How's the draft going? Are you getting a good head count locally?
You know, Martin, there you go again. You reporters, asking those questions that could very well put our country in danger. Don't you know we're not publishing draft lists anymore? Now think about that. Mr. Jepp, Mr. Kraut, we'd sure love to know how many of our boys are heading their way, don't you think?
I understand.
I don't think you do, Martin. But having a generous nature, I'll give you the benefit of the doubt this time.
I appreciate that, Mr. Raffaele. Draft Board Number 2 Director, let's take this time to hear our 5 o'clock news sponsor, Northwestern Mutual Life Insurance Company, and here's Jack McKenna.
Is he gone, Lou? I tell you, Lou, maybe next time ask if Draft Board Number 1 Director is available. This guy is not nice.
I'm still here, McKenna, and I heard every word you said.
Don't wait, but rush to get your life insurance secured before wartime restrictions keep you from getting the best coverage possible. See Leonard Moran before December 22nd and get full coverage for yourself and your family. After that date, wartime coverage will increase your costs, regardless of your age. So, friends, act now. So visit Leonard Moran and buy your insurance now. Lou is, you know who?
Northwestern Mutual Life Insurance News Time is 5:07. The list of Duluth and Upper Wisconsin men killed at Pearl Harbor continues to grow longer. War struck Rice Lake when word was received that 20-year-old Frank Milneck was among the list of those killed in action in the December 7th attack. His parents, Mr. and Mrs. F.J. Milneck, were notified by the War Department. No details were given. The Milneck family lives 10 miles north of Rice Lake on Long Lake. Their son enlisted in the Navy a year ago. He was home on furlough just a month ago, but his stay was cut short when he was ordered by telegraph to report to San Diego for duty on the USS California. Frank Milneck was born October of 1921. He graduated from Rice Lake High School. He's survived by 4 brothers and 6 sisters, many of whom still live at home. Our condolences to the family. Even as one family deals with the difficult news of losing a son, another family waits for word one way or the other. Mr. and Mrs. Olaf Olson of Patterson Park haven't heard from their son, Olaf Jr., since the attack on Pearl Harbor. Olaf Olson Jr. is a seaman, third class, on board the USS Nevada, reported sunk in Pearl Harbor. The last letter his parents received was November the 27th from California, saying that he would be shipping out to Pearl Harbor for motor boat patrol. Superior will make a substantial contribution to the war effort come this Saturday, when the first ship built in the city will be launched. KUWS radio newsman Mike Simonson has the story.
Well, invitations have gone out to 50 people who will be allowed to witness the launching of the 235-foot-long oil tanker, the USS Bullwheel. The diesel-electric-powered ship will be christened by the wife of U.S. Navy Commander G.W. Bergman with a bottle of champagne, and then the Bullwheel will slide down the greased runway at the Hammond Avenue slip of Lake Superior Shipyards. While this will be a big event, there will be many more of these occasions at the shipyards in Superior and Duluth. In fact, just 3 weeks after this launch, the USS Cassinghead will be launched at Lake Superior Shipyards on January 10th. Both ships will be delivered in the spring to the Naval Shipyard in Norfolk. Now, hundreds of men and women have been involved in building this tanker, and those workers will also be on hand. The launch will be noon Saturday, and Lou, you'll be there with a special telephone hookup to broadcast this historic moment, the first launching of a ship in Superior since the end of World War I.
Well, I'll have to admit that I remember many ships sliding into the water during the Great War, as a boy, of course. It's a spectacular moment.
I bet you can't wait.
I'm looking forward to it. KUWS Radio Newsman, Mike Simonson. Naval Lieutenant Commander Bergman received a telegraph today from the Secretary of War, Frank Knox, urging all shipyard workers to speed up their work. Quoting from the letter from Secretary Knox, and it reads, "The enemy has struck a savage, treacherous blow. We are at war, all of us. We must have ships and more ships, guns and more guns, men and more men, faster and faster. The Navy, in a way, is undaunted. The Marines hold out at wake. Are you up to the challenge?" Unquote. Well, another blackout drill is set for Upper Wisconsin, this time in entire county. Barron County Defense Council Director J.H. Wallace of Rice Lake says that all communities in the county will take part in the blackout on December the 29th from 8 to 9 p.m. Dr. Wallace says the drill is necessary to combat the possibility of fifth columnists in case of invasion. The council says it's important to have all their ducks in a row so they have a uniform way of calling an alert of citizens in Barron County.
Hate to interrupt here, old buddy.
Well, that's all right, Jack. I'm done.
Does this mean people out on the road have to turn off their headlights at night? I mean, thanks for the warning of the blackout, because I don't want to be anywhere near Barron County when these guys are doing their drill.
Well, I'll be sure to do a follow-up story, including traffic reports. It shouldn't be too busy, though. December 29th, that lands on a Monday night.
All right, Lou. Thanks for the news. And friends, I have for you the abbreviated forecast from the United States Weather Bureau on this Thursday night, December the 18th, 1941. You remember I told you yesterday that we couldn't give more than a forecast for the coming few hours, and that's it. More wartime regulations, of course, due to government restriction of information, which might aid the enemy in an attack on us. I can tell you it's going to be partly cloudy and colder tonight, with a low around 18 degrees. The wind will be chilly, too, at 20 to 30 miles per hour. I can't tell you the direction or tomorrow's forecast. So, good listeners, this is more like the look out the window and you'll know forecast. Oh, well, no one said war was playtime. I believe someone once said war is hell. Let's kick off our chilly Thursday night with some music that'll warm your bones, though. Here's the Andrews Sisters, Rum and Coca-Cola, on station KUWS from the land of beautiful lakes.
If you ever go down Trinidad, they make you feel so very glad. Calypso sing and make up rhyme, guarantee you one real good fine time. Drinking rum and Coca-Cola, go down for Cumana. Both mother and daughter working for the Yankee dollar. Oh, beat it, man, beat it. If a Yankee comes to Trinidad, they got the young girls all going mad. Young girls say they treat them nice, make Trinidad like paradise. Drinking rum and Coca-Cola, go down for Cubana. Both mother and daughter working for the Yankee dollar.
Oh, you vex me, you vex me. Chicka chick carried to Mona's Isle, native girls all dance and smile. Helps soldiers celebrate his leave. Makes every day like New Year's Eve. Drinking rum and Coca-Cola. Go down Point Cumana. Both mother and daughter. Working for the Yankee dollar. It's a fact, Mom, it's a fact. In old Trinidad, I also fear the situation is mighty queer. Like the Yankee girls, the natives swoon when she hears her bingo croon. Drinking rum and Coca-Cola. Go down Point Cumana. Both mother and daughter. Working for the Yankee dollar. Out on Manzanella Beach, GI romance with native peach. All night long make tropic love. The next day sit in hot sun and cool off. Drinking rum and Coca-Cola. Go down Point Cumana. Both mother and daughter. Working for the Yankee dollar. Oh, it's a fact, Mom, it's a fact. Rum and Coca-Cola. Rum and Coca-Cola. Working for the Yankee dollar.
Oh, yeah, the enjoyable sound of the Andrew Sisters. Well, believe it or not, good listeners, there's only 6 shopping days till Christmas. Oofta. That's not a lot of time, but it doesn't matter who you have to shop for. Gamble's Toyland has something for everyone. Listen to this. For Father, does he play golf or is he thinking about playing golf? Well, he's not going to play any right now unless he goes to Florida. But irons are $3.29 apiece, and that's $3.29. Wood's only $4.49. The bag is $3.29, and the balls are 59 cents each. Zipper bags $1.98, and gloves for golf $1 a pair. For mother, oh, we gotta have mom get something here. How about a new coffee maker for $4.29 to $8.95, eh? And gas ranges. $89.95 to $139.95. Electrics, $129 up to $189. Poor mom has to get presents that do work. And for baby sister, well, not so much of a baby, but she has a baby available here with a nice doll at 98 cents. And for brother, how about a phonograph that plays 10-inch records for $4.29? See what I mean? Fun shopping for the whole family at Gamble's Toyland in Superior is a must. Here's a ho, ho, ho for you from singer Johnny Desmond and Sleigh Ride on station KUWS.
Oh, come on, John.
I got to get a muffler.
Come on, John.
Hey, I got to get galoshes.
Come on, John.
Oh, I got to get mittens. Hey, stop the breeze. I'm going to sneeze.
Oh, come on, John.
Just hear those sleigh bells jingling, ring-ting-tingling too. Come on, it's lovely weather for a sleigh ride together with you. Outside the snow is falling and friends are calling you. Come on, it's lovely weather for a sleigh ride together with you.
Giddy up, giddy up, giddy up, let's go, let's go.
Let's look for the show. We're riding the wonderland of snow.
Giddy up, giddy up, giddy up, it's grand.
Just holding your hand. We're gliding along with the song of a wintry fairyland. Our cheeks are nice and rosy and comfy cozy are we. We're snuggled up together like the birds of a feather would be. Let's take that road before us and sing a chorus or two. Come on, it's lovely weather for a sleigh ride together with you.
There's a birthday party at the home of Farmer Gray. It'll be a perfect ending to a perfect day.
We'll be singing the songs we love to sing without a single stop at the fireplace while we watch the chestnut pop.
Pop, 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 there's a happy feeling nothing in the world can buy.
when they pass around the coffee and the pumpkin pie.
It'll nearly be like a picture print by Courier and I.
These wonderful things are the things we remember all through our lives. Just hear those sleigh bells jingling, ring, ting, tingling, ting. Come on, it's lovely weather for a sleigh ride together with you.
Outside the snow is falling and friends are calling, hey, yoo-hoo!
Yoo-hoo, yoo-hoo!
Come on, it's lovely weather for a sleigh ride together with you.
Giddy-up, giddy-up, let's go! Giddy-up, giddy-up, it's grand! Cheeks are nice and rosy and comfy, cozy are we.
We're snuggled up together like the birds of a feather would be.
Let's take that road before us and sing a chorus or two.
Come on, it's lovely weather for a sleigh ride together with you.
Oh, come on,
hey, John. I'm getting my muffler.
Come on,
John. Oh, I got to get galoshes. Hey, I'm going to sneeze.
Shoo! Good night, John. Come on.
The fine holiday sound of Johnny Desmond. Hiya, Lou. What's up?
Well, we have a guest who's decided to stay with us because he wants to get a word or two about the next news item that just came across our United Press wire from Madison.
What is it?
Well, it seems that Governor Julius Heil has declared that the Twin Ports is one of the most important ports in the world and also the least defended. Governor Heil said in a speech in Madison that the federal government hasn't given us a 10-gauge shotgun to protect Duluth and Superior, in spite of this port being the gateway to vital iron ore to make steel. Governor Heil would like to see anti-aircraft batteries ringing the Twin Port cities and set up defenses in shipyards and iron ore docks.
And our guest gives that his wholehearted support, I suppose.
Darn right. It's about time some of these civilians realize what's at stake here. I was just leaving to go home when Lou showed me the story that was coming off the wire machine.
It's my fault, Jack. I was just being friendly.
Hello again, Douglas County Draft Board Number 2, Director Raffaele. Not your fault, Lou. Nothing to worry about.
Yes, there, you see? This is what I'm talking about. Some Jap Zero could come blowing in out of the sky, and what would we be able to do about it? This is why we need military men like me around. The governor is right on the ball about putting a ring of anti-aircraft guns around Duluth and Superior, and we'll get the boys to man those suckers.
Yeah, yeah, but we're in the upper Midwest. Unless the Japanese or Germans take Canada, we're pretty safe from bombing and strafing.
I don't think I like your attitude, McKenna. You complain about the weather forecast restrictions, you complain about the blackout drill, you complain about the governor. You complain if you're getting hung with a new rope. You're quite the complainer, aren't you, son?
No harm meant. No disrespect to the good governor, either. It just seems pretty far-fetched to think we're going to see any attack here. But you could be right. It never hurts to prepare. You know, I'm an old Boy Scout veteran.
Well, maybe there's hope for you yet. I may just make you my personal case. We'll get that attitude straightened out.
Well, now, Jack, you know, that's a nice offer for Mr. Raffaele.
Yes, sweet.
Did you say sweet?
Complete. It's a complete opportunity.
All right, then. Well, we'll start with lunch tomorrow.
You leaving now?
Gotta go. And tomorrow, McKenna, noon sharp, Saratoga Cafe. Be there.
I have a feeling he won't be picking up the tab, though. Well, maybe he's right. We all have got to do our part, friends. Let's get into the Yuletide spirit now, with Ella Fitzgerald singing Have Yourself a Merry Little Christmas on Station KUWS.
Have yourself a merry little Christmas. Let your heart be light. Next year all our troubles will be out of sight. Have yourself a merry little Christmas. Make the Yuletide gay. Next year all our troubles will be miles away. faithful friends who were dear to us will be near to us once more. Someday soon we all will be together if the fates allow. Until then we'll have to muddle through somehow. So have yourself a merry little Christmas
Holiday sounds of Ella Fitzgerald with Have Yourself a Merry Little Christmas, and we hope you do. It puts you right in the Christmas spirit, doesn't it, Lou?
Well, you know, in spite of the storms we're facing overseas, or maybe because of it, Christmas is going to seem all the more special this year. I think the Christmas of 1941 will be one that we'll never forget.
Especially if you spring for a gift for me. Well, there's no escaping the war news, and it just keeps flashing across our United Press wire.
Well, indeed, Jack, and good listeners, this news is just in. The formation of a Supreme Allied Command Authority is in the works. It would direct action against the Axis powers in the European and Pacific theaters of operation. It's not certain if this command should be located in London or in Washington. British Indian troops are reinforcing Rangoon in the British Burma area, and RAF fighters have successfully hit two Nazi battleships today. So, Jack, how about some good old-fashioned American news from the home front?
Well, that's always welcome, buddy.
Harriet Farrig joins us then with the community news of note. Good evening, Miss Farrig. So good to see you.
Why, Louis, you called me Miss Farrig. Why so formal?
Well, maybe it's the times and all. I do prefer to call you Harriet.
And I will have it no other way. Here's something that should cheer you all up in our fine audience tonight. 8 finalists will be at the Armory in Superior to compete in the big Jitterbug contest. They're members of the Little Dipper Dry Night Club. And Saturday night, these energetic swingers will determine who is the best jitterbugger in Douglas County. The final contest is scheduled to start at 10 p.m., and a record crowd is expected. Competing will be Margaret Budnick and Donald Denise, Shirley Zakow and Charles Carlson, Marcy Shannon and Minor Willis, Gloria Peel and Mike Satek. And the Knights of Columbus are opening up their new club room. Plans are underway for a Christmas tree trimming party Monday for the Knights of Columbus members, their friends, and families. The party, to be held in the recently opened clubroom of the Knights of Columbus in the Union National Bank building at Broadway and Tower, and that's scheduled to start at 8 p.m. You know, Louis, if you promise never to call me Miss Farrig again, we can go to the Armory and watch. It'll be, as the youngsters say these days, a real gas.
Oh, when it comes to gas, old newsman Louis is your guy.
I'd love to go along, Harriet. It'll be a big day with the launching of the USS Bullwheel. Hey, I could get you into the scene. You know, I'm covering it. What do you say we make a day of it?
You could get me in to see the christening of the bull wheel? Count me in, Lewis. What fun.
Oh, indeed. And another happy ending, folks. That's that's it for this Thursday evening, December the 18th, 1941. We'll be back same time, same place, God willing, and the creek doesn't rise yet. For Lou Martin and Miss Farag, then, this is Jack McKenna speaking, and good night.
This is Radio Superior 1941, a weekly production presented by KUWS Radio and Wisconsin Public Radio. Radio Superior is produced and written by Mike Simonson, with research assistance from Sarah Dorman. Harriet Farag is played by Jennifer Simonson, with sports reporting done by Ray Paulson. All events reported on Radio Superior 1941 are actual accounts from the editions of the Superior Evening Telegram. Your comments are welcome at 394-8530. Email at simonson@wpr.org or write to us at KUWS Radio, UW Superior, Superior, Wisconsin, 54880. Join us next week at this time for more Radio Superior 1941. This is your announcer, Dan Culhane, speaking. Good night.